gonna introduce us.
Okay. Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life radio show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and I'm really glad to be here today. I'm Dr. Joanne White, and welcome to Power Your Life. And it's always a pleasure to bring someone on who's very business savvy and also a colleague and somebody in my backyard, meaning in New Jersey. So we're going to send a warm, warm welcome to my first guest, and that is Christy Hal Iketa. And she is the president and the CEO of the Burlington County Chamber of Commerce since December of 2002. And the chamber is a partnership of businesses working to improve the economic viability of Burlington County, and that's in New Jersey. And Christy's experience includes service to the Senate President, Acting Governor Donald D. Francisco, managing special projects and relationships between the local governments and the governor's office. Additionally, she served as a communications specialist and advance representative for Governor Christy Todd Whitman. She also serves on the Burlington County Workforce Investment Board, the River Road Advisory Committee, Advocacy Committee for the YMCA. I don't know how she does all this. The Board of Directors of the Crossroads Programs and Burlington County Institute of Technology Advisory Board. And she was included in the Bullseye, the Southern New Jersey Business People in June 2009 awarded her an honor, and South Jersey Biz named her the 20 Under 40 featuring Christy on their cover in June 2011. And in 2006, Christy was also named the Business Advocate of the Year by the South Jersey chapter of the National Association of Women Business Owners. So Christy really knows her stuff, and we're really very honored to have her here today to take time out of her incredibly busy schedule to talk to us about how you can navigate today's business climate. Christy, how are you?
Good. How are you, Doctor?
I'm wonderful. So thanks so much for being here. Let's dive right into this. I know that you do so much for New Jersey and just from what I read to our listening audience. Firstly, how do you do it? How do you balance all those different balls?
You just keep them all up in the air, and some of them, most of the analogy, it's just keeping them in the air and running forward. But, you know, Doc, I've found that I've needed some me time, and that was important. You know, last year I had the privilege to kind of reflect on this in a magazine article that I could share with all of our business community in South Jersey here, and realizing that I, as you may know, I struggled with a weight gain and some other things, and realized that I need to take some me time. I now make sure I get to the gym, I have a trainer, I make sure I get that me time in. It's really important.
Well, I think that's great, and I think that you're really a role model for so many different women in not only in New Jersey, but also all across the globe here. So let's really talk about today's business climate. Now, I know that there's a lot been going on in New Jersey, so let's talk a little bit about New Jersey and then how that kind of moves forward into the rest of the United States, and also what business people, business entrepreneurs, people who are running their own companies, what they can do to kind of keep abreast in this business market and also not just to survive, but to thrive.
Sure.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on in New Jersey right now.
Well, New Jersey employers added 9,900 jobs to their payrolls in June. And jobs have increased in New Jersey by almost 25,000 in the last 2 months. It's the largest 2-month gain over the last over 12 years. The last similar gain was November 1999 to January 2000. In the past year, though, non-farm employment has increased by 65,000, and the farm employment is broken out separately because that's a lot of seasonal and sort of a different class. But, you know, unfortunately, despite that, the state's unemployment rate actually went up from 9.6%, went up to 9.6% from May's 9.2% because, you know, additional jobs doesn't actually mean job growth. You know, we still unfortunately have employers, different types of employers, different segments of industry, shutting down jobs, losing jobs, laying off employees to a much higher rate than what we're adding. And that's still true all across the nation and in our state as well. We've got some great entrepreneurs, and there's some great programs out there to help entrepreneurs start businesses. But, you know, one of the things that the Lieutenant Governor has been working on in the state of New Jersey is things like the Work Opportunity Tax Program credit and Work First on the Job training, employee training grants and things like that for existing employees because we're focusing on new employees and we need to make sure that we can help revitalize our existing workforce so that we can keep them.
You know, I think that's so very important, and actually I'm seeing that across the whole country, tax credits to increase utilizing employees or whatever. I have a question based on what you were just saying, Christy, and that is you had talked about many businesses actually not closing and therefore a lot of the employees are out of jobs. What do employees need to do? They've been trained for such and such a job and maybe they've been in that job for so many years. What can they do? What do they need to do to kind of move ahead and become employed?
Well, you know, Doc White, one of the first things I see, I do a lot of resume workshops, and one of the first things I see is that people don't know how to translate a skill that they've had for 20 years into the future or into their next job. I mean, if someone says I get a resume and it says I'm a crane operator. Well, what does that mean? I was asking them, what does that mean? What did you do? You can operate heavy machinery. You've gotten certifications. You're easily trainable. I work with them a lot on trying to translate that one skill into practical terms so that an employer, when he or she is looking at the resume or an HR person looking at that resume, can say, okay, you know, Mr. Smith has these great skills. That's actually a big problem I'm seeing with our men and women coming out of the military. I've done some work with some of those folks, and it's, you know, well, I've done this, I've, you know, operated this machinery, this equipment, or I've done this task for the last 15 years, but how do I apply it to today's world? So it's really sitting down with someone who can help you fine-tune your resume and make sure that your resume, you know, gets the attention of that hiring manager. You know, we here at the Chamber just recently hired somebody. I had 150 resumes for a 20-hour-a-week part-time job. So,
wow.
You know, it takes a lot to be able to rise to that stack of resumes to the 5 or 6 people that I might interview. So making sure that you have a clean, crisp resume is really important. And, you know, people often say the squeaky wheel gets the grease, and I'm going to tell you that that is not true. If you're going to call me, email me 3, 4, or 5 times to see if I've gotten your resume, you're not really exuding the qualities that I want in an employee. To me, that's not forethinking behavior. I know sometimes, you know, one call is great, did you get my resume, but 3, 4, 5, when am I getting the interview, when am I doing this, you know, you will get pushed to the back of the pile because employers just don't have the time. I mean, many of us no longer have HR departments and we're doing everything on our own.
You know, that's so very true. It's like when you're going into a store and there's a salesperson who constantly is saying, may I help you? Can I help you? Do you like that? My tendency is to walk out.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be bothered. So the same is true.
Yeah.
When right. So I think that's a great example. So what else is going on in New Jersey that's also translated to what's going on in the United States that business owners and entrepreneurs and people seeking employment need to be aware of so that they can move forward and advance in their careers and in their businesses?
You know, one of the things that we're experiencing, as you may know or not know, but New Jersey's in sort of a tug of war with New York and Pennsylvania. They've been aggressive states for a long time in building, in job growth, and we now have a very aggressive governor and lieutenant governor, and we're knocking on doors and moving them over. So I would say this, if you're listening and you're in New York or Pennsylvania, you know, my whole plea is come to New Jersey. We're offering lots of great incentives for you to come, you know, to come to New Jersey. You know, there's just too many people looking for jobs. One of the things, you know, it's very unfortunate. Entry-level jobs seem to be readily available. There's been such a need to cut from the top. We're doing, you know, more with less, and less is a higher-paying executive job. So, you know, while people are employed, they're greatly unemployed, and I think some folks, you know, may need to you know, just face the reality that $100,000 a year job that they've left isn't there anymore, and unfortunately, it's going to be a $14 or $18 an hour job for the time being until we see the economy turn back around and some of these companies come back. But honestly, Doc, I don't know that we're ever going to see some of these big companies come back, because I think some of their demise was very much some of their own mistakes. You know, we got too big too fast, too greedy too fast, and you know, it's impacting our economy now. But, you know,
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say businesses, business people, business owners, you know, we all need to rethink and reinvent ourselves. You know, I encourage people, especially small business owners, at least once a year to get out that business plan and take a long and hearty look at it. Is it still moving you where you want to be? And personally, if you don't write your own personal goals for where you want to be and what you want to do, you really should, and you really should revisit them. They're your own business plan. You know, are you really following that to where you want to be? You know, and it's no longer who gives me it's unfortunately we're in a competitive world now where people are looking at the best price, not the best service level, and it's very unfortunate.
Well, it's such a strong level of competition like you're talking about, and I'm wondering if a lot of businesses are also sort of falling through the cracks because technology has been developing at such a very fast pace, and many companies are not keeping up with that, and yet there may be new jobs that are actually being developed in the area. Well, not may. There are new jobs that are being developed in technology and in other areas that people are not necessarily trained for that have been in old businesses.
Right. You'll see that. You'll see some of our educational institutions. I know we reside on the Bryant Kenny College campus, and they're focusing on healthcare technology. That's the next new wave with the Patient Health Care Act and the Privacy Acts and things like that. You know, technicians who know how to process these records and keep them secure and scan them and those kinds of things. That's a brand new wave in technology. But, you know, one of the sad things is, I think, with the development of technology is we've lost that personal touch in our businesses. I'm very adamant here at the Chamber that we don't automate things, and we could probably run a lot faster, and maybe some of us wouldn't be sitting at our desks at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, you know, fine-tuning things. But we don't automate things. We automate some things, but we make sure that we look at every individual member of our organization who are our clients and see if we can help their individual needs. If someone says, no, I can't take that $200 sponsorship from you, well, can I tweak it and make it more attractive or help you better so that we can help you do your business? I mean, we really make sure that we look at each and every individual and customize things for them. And
you know,
people
I
just
think
don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I think that's so important because I think you're right. We get so high technology and we're losing that personal touch, like you said, and I think it affects the way people think. It affects the way people relate to one another. I saw something yesterday that actually surprised me, and this is going on in New Jersey and probably in other states. They're now offering online schooling for K-12. I don't know enough about it, but it looks like an alternative to actually going in and meeting with fellow classmates and teachers and socializing. And I don't know. I mean, I have very mixed views about it. I'm not sure how good that is.
Well, I have a very strong view about it. I can't imagine that it's any good. You know, I've been interviewing a lot of recent college grads for some of our positions in the last 2 years, and their social skills are horrendous is the only word I can think of it. And think if we now keep them online, you know, with no social skills. It flabbergasts me that I've had to write memos in the past to employees to say a text message is not an appropriate way to call out of work. You know, you actually need to pick the phone and call me and tell me you're ill or something has happened or something's going on. You need to have that conversation. And people who say, well, you can send me a text. I'm like, I don't text for business. But you're right, and that's I'm so fearful that that's a brand new society that we're creating and losing touch with real human contact.
You know, I'm so with you on that too, because it just floored me that that's happening. And so if it's happening here, it must be happening all across the country. I haven't done enough research on that. But just like you said, Christy, it's affecting people's ability to socialize. And at a young age, particularly, that is so key, because that's how you're developing the wherewithal and the ability to even learn how to do that. So if that's shut off at a very early age, you're right. Look what's going to happen to people as they get older. And I shun to think about it. You had some incredible ideas in terms of what people need to do. And this 35 minutes is going to go by so very fast. I want to make sure we get your great ideas in terms of, okay, so here we are. We're in a downslope in terms of the economy, and a lot of jobs are being lost. What can people do? You talked about reinventing oneself. You also talked about people kind of being able to learn how to translate their skills, which I think is brilliant, because I think that that's so very true. What else is required of people to really create a business edge and a competitive edge here?
Well, you know, you need to promote yourself, and there's nothing new. You know, there's nothing new there. That's not rocket science. You always need to promote yourself. But, you know, now more than ever, participate in community groups, clubs, organizations, Rotaries, Kiwanis, Lions, local business associations, chambers of commerce, special interest groups in your field. You know, now more than ever, it's more important. You need to build your network before you need it. I remember a story of a young man, a son to one of our board members, and, you know, he had an inside job, a very technologically savvy job, and he was inside, and when that company downsized and he was out of job, he had no network, and he didn't know where to start looking for a new job. Fortunately, his new job put him into an opportunity where he could network, and, you know, and he's since said to me, I want to make sure that I don't lose any of these contacts. He's gone into a new back-end job again, but he realizes the importance of not losing those contacts, because you can't build them when you need them. You know, you need to have them. People need to know who you are before you need to call on them for their help. And you know, and you need to do a variety of things. Participate, attend events. Some are free. Many are free. They're low cost, or they're low cost. Contribute, volunteer. You know, do things like volunteering to give a presentation on topics that you're knowledgeable in. Serve on boards and committees. Volunteer in the community. I can't tell you how many people have said, I got a new job because I was, you know, the room mom. And it just so happens the other room mom said her company was hiring, and, you know, I put my resume out there, and wow, I got this new job. And, you know, have informational meetings with people. I was just telling you before the start of the show, my schedule's been so busy, and I've found myself doing a lot of talking and a lot of just time spent with people, just sharing ideas and sharing information, and you know, getting a little light bulb that goes, wow, we can, you know, maybe we can find a different way to make some money or a different way to help people by doing A, B, or C, and, you know, that's important. Online networking, starting discussions on groups like LinkedIn, you know, share your knowledge. Write articles for newsletters. We require them to be non-promotional and educational, but what a great way, just a terrific way to be able to showcase, you know, your knowledge. I just came out of a meeting before we came on air today, and I presented our speakers bureau form to this new member, and they said, well, what could we speak about? And I went, well, you have a conference planner. What great skills, what great knowledge could she give to small business owners to talk about the top 5 or 10 things you know, you need to know to plan an event for your company or to plan a conference. What are the top pitfalls? You know, when I go and talk to people and say, well, come speak to us, and well, what can I speak about? You know, pick five things or three things that are that people need to know about who you are, what you do, or the skill set you can give to them. And that's all. You can talk for 15 minutes on something like that, very, very with a lot of knowledge and probably very spirited for that, and sharing knowledge with people. I can't tell you how many people say to me here at the Chamber, and you know, we're all about cultivating business relationships, have said, you know, I may not have gotten direct business out of this or that or the other thing, but, you know, his knowledge led me on to somebody else who had a job for me or an opportunity for me, or, you know, I've been a member for 10 years and I enjoy being a part of the business community and those kinds of things. And I've been able to help three people in my family get jobs or do things like that just because I'm out there and I'm participating, you know, and I'm connecting with people. And it's just, it's so much more, you know.
You know, I totally agree with you. Has networking changed? The whole concept of networking, is that different now?
It has. You know, social networking has taken, I like to call them the Rolodex builders. They have a new tool now. Now instead of coming out to an event with 100 business cards and trying to see how many business cards they can hand out and collect in 20 minutes as opposed to having a meaningful conversation, they can now sit at their computers and spam you and say, link into me and link into me and link into me or be my friend or fan my business. And you know, Doc, that's, in my opinion, it's not the way to do it. It's about building relationships. You know, just because I know your name doesn't mean I'm going to refer you out to somebody. You know, take that 20-minute coffee meeting and get to know me and let me get to know you. It's just so much more important. You know, someone made the comment to me that they didn't think I was LinkedIn to as many people as they thought I would be. They, you know, you must know thousands of people. I do know thousands of people, but I look at LinkedIn as a personal referral service for me, and just because I know them doesn't mean I'm going to be able to recommend them, recommend their product or them personally, and I want to make sure that I can do that.
You know, we're talking about building relationships, and I think you from what you're saying and from everything that you've done, Christy, you're really a master at building relationships. So let's delve into that a little bit further and a little bit deeper. What does it mean when people are going to these meetings to relate to one another? What are the important things that they need to be able to get across to somebody else to really show that their interest and to get engaged?
Well, you know, first of all, we've learned for so long your 30-second elevator pitch. Know your 30-second elevator pitch. Well, by the time I hit the fifth person who's giving me their 30-second elevator pitch, you know, I don't know about you, but I want to go running out the back door.
Right.
Make sure you're talking about how you can help people. Make sure you need that elevator pitch, but make sure that's about helping people. You know, I always say I provide, what do? I provide business education and marketing to help help businesses grow. Really? Well, how do you do that? I never once in that 5 or 10 second, you know, remark do I say I'm the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce. That doesn't mean anything to anybody. You know, make sure you talk about what you can do for them and how you can help them. First of all, though, you know, understand this, that everybody in that room with you is probably just as nervous as you are about meeting people and getting to know other people. So, you know, relax. Cocktails help, of course. A cup of coffee helps, depending on whether it's a morning event. You know, and sometimes just a warm opening conversation about, you know, hi, I'm Christy, and who are you, and how did you find out about this event, you know. You don't need to delve into a 10-minute diatribe of the pros and cons of your business plan or your business. Just a simple, hi, how are you, can open doors. Important, though, for those networking events, make sure you wear name tags. I always cringe when I see people, you know, take their name tag and throw it in a trash can. You know, there's proven studies of our visual recognition of someone's name and how we remember that name and their business. And maybe, you know, an opener might be, well, I see you work for the ABC Corporation. I just met Bob Smith in the ABC Corporation last week. Do you work with him? Are you on the same floor? They're just such great openers. And, you know, I'll share this with you, Doc, and your listeners. I hate networking. I run probably 60 networking programs a year. And my palms get sweaty when I walk in a room with people that I don't know. But it gets easier, and it gets easier all the time as you go and start those warm conversations. And the more of these you do, the more you'll build relationships with people and you'll walk in and know somebody. And I encourage people, take a buddy. Don't stay with the buddy all night or all afternoon, but take a buddy to walk in together, and then you'll eventually find that you'll split off. I find most of the split-offs become natural. You start to talk to different people introduce you to people. But I also encourage those people who are natural networkers to be warm and inviting. You know, don't stand in a closed circle. Make sure your group is inviting. Make sure people feel like they can join you. If you see somebody wandering around looking for someone to talk to, you know, make sure you say, you know, hi, hello, come on in. You know, we were just talking about, you know, the stale Danish they served us this morning, where, you know, you would be surprised at how many of those networking conversations are certainly not around the economic status of New Jersey or the job growth numbers or sales numbers or anything like that. Most of them are about, you know, my kids were on the soccer field last night, you've got kids too, and hey, maybe we should get a cup of coffee now and really talk about our business plans and how we can work and how we can help each other. And success. You've got success.
You know, I think everything that you're saying is so important, and I'm glad you admitted that you don't like networking, because that's something that I've been holding as a secret. I'm thinking, oh my God, how do I do it? I don't like it. And it's true, the more that you do it, even though every time your palms are sweaty or whatever, it's like, oh my God, I got to do it again. But it does get easier, like you said. What else can people do? I was reading an article just recently about the fact that now businesses are requiring entrepreneurs, and maybe this has always been true, to be more of right brain thinkers than left brain thinkers. So what do you think about that?
You know, I think that's true. Creativity is key. You know, thinking outside the box, you know, presenting new ideas, new ways to do things. But I think it's important to show that you're doing that on your own time. You know, I kind of cringe when someone comes to me and says, I just had this brilliant new idea. Really? And did you get the 8 other things on your plate done for me? Too, you know, but they're important. And I also encourage, you know, as an employer and a boss, I encourage people to, you know, be open to that. You know, one of the words, I've been here, you know, as you mentioned, I started here in 2002. I'm in my 10th year. I'm celebrating my 10th anniversary in December. I had never had such a leadership. Thank you. Never had such a leadership role. And for the longest time, I referred to my team here as staff. And I've started now in the last 5 years to really making sure that I refer to them as my team. And they really are my team. And we really need to start looking at our entrepreneurs, our employees, as team members, and really start valuing their opinions, valuing what they, you know, what they have and what they need and what they want. We often here run programs about once a year on the multi-generational workforce. And what everyone now, there's 4 different generations now in our workforce together, and what each one of them needs from an employer to be happy and to be satisfied and to be fulfilled in their job. And as much as making your bottom line and selling those, you know, selling those memberships or selling those widgets is important, you're going to do it if your employees and your team are happy.
You know, that's so very true, because your team is vital, and without your team, you can't do it yourself, and you know that from everything that you do. You need a team. You need strong backup. You need to be able to delegate and have people do certain jobs that you're not able to do because you have so many other different functions. And like
right.
You said, Christy, making them feel valuable and including them as a team, again, it's all about relationships that we started out talking about, even in terms of networking. And that makes the difference in how they're going to perform, and I believe even in their creativity and their ability to deliver, like you said, to deliver what they needed to deliver and be creative at the same time.
Right.
So what else is for Christy? I mean, you're celebrating your anniversary, and I think that's fantastic. What else? You do so much. What else? What else?
You know, it's funny.
Or do
I
dare
my,
ask
you know,
that?
Well, you know, and I'll share this with your listeners too. In addition to my 10th year here, I just celebrated a milestone birthday where I added another zero to my count, and I've entered a new era. And you know, along with a lot of my friends, the 40 somethings, I'm now amongst the 40 somethings. And you know, Doc, I woke up one day and I'm like, all right, what's next? And I went, nothing has to be next. I'm perfectly happy. I have the opportunity to help so many people and do so many great things here at the Chamber. I'm very fortunate that I get to be the architect of my job and my world here, and I get to create new programs and new things and do different things here each and every day. In 10 years, I've never had the same day. You know, and I'm not sure what's next, but I'm thinking about it. You know, for me, the most important thing is to make sure I leave a legacy here at the Chamber, no matter when I decide it's time to move on, to make sure that we've got a strong, healthy business organization. I'm so proud of this organization that my team and I have built, where people are now calling and saying, I just opened a business in Burlington County, and five of my friends said I need to join your organization because I hear you do great things and have great programs, and I really want to be a part of that. And that's just so important to me. You know, so many people leave and leave the building crumbling behind them, and I don't want that here. I want to make sure that we've got a good, strong organization. And I'm not sure. I might try something totally different. I have this silly dream of mine. Someday I think I want to own and operate a wine bar, but we'll see. Someday you might find me at the Jersey Shore peddling wine and cheese. But for now, I love helping the business community. You know, we're needed now in this economy. I love the opportunities that I get to bring to people. We have such a great thing here in Burlington County with our joint base. With the Coast Guard out there, we've got all five services of our nation's service located at our joint base that hunt thousands and thousands of men and women serving our country and their families. And, you know, we as a business community get to support them and support that role. I've had two great trips, one to Arkansas and one to Texas with our military to see what we're doing and how we're helping our young men and women who choose to serve. And I'm going to have an opportunity to help not acknowledge them even more so in the future and make sure the business community is recognizing what they're doing for us. And I feel very privileged and very blessed to have this opportunity at this time in my life.
You know, it shows the excitement and the commitment and the love of what you do and really the love of supporting people and helping people and leaving a strong legacy. Like you said, that's not once you leave, everything isn't going to collapse. So I think that's wonderful. And I love what you said. You're an architect of your job. I think that's a beautiful way of seeing it, seeing what you do, because you're constantly building it. You can't do it by yourself. You need other people to build something, and yet there you are. You're doing the planning. You're actually creating things from the bottom up, from the ground zero, to make something viable and something beautiful that you can be proud of, and that really makes a difference in other people's lives, not only in your own. So what a great role model, and what a better way to be. And you know what? You don't have to have a next thing. I love how you said that too, because at some point that will come. But right now it's celebrating everything that you're doing. How could other people, not only in New Jersey, but in other states, really help support the military? Because right now I'm seeing that given that there are a lot of military people home and there are lots of challenges that they're facing, what can we do to help?
Well, first of all, you know, if you have a military base near you, there's certainly opportunities to volunteer. A lot of communities have their own military relations councils or committees or things like that you can get involved and volunteer in. If you are an employer, you know, these are some of our best and brightest. They've got amazing skills. I encourage you to, you know, give them an opportunity. We're working with a new program who is offering internships for retired military, those just coming out of the military. He's approaching employers with give them a 2-month internship and get to know them. And what a great way to learn about an employee. And I just encourage you to be open you know, open to that. But, you know, get involved. Get to know these men and women. You know, what comes next after you get to know them comes naturally, because you'll find a niche. You'll find something that you like to do at the base, or in and around the base. You know, if you know folks in the military with a spouse who's deployed, you know, I have a friend who said the best thing they ever did for her was just show up with a meal. It's just a lot for the men and the women who are left behind with the kids. The military does a lot for them, and the community groups do a lot for them. But, you know, Doc, I think one of the most important things, and my cousin's been teaching this to her kids, and I love it. We were at the air show back in June, or May, rather, here at the Joint Base, and I listened to I consider them my niece and nephew, and I listened to them, and they're 7, 11, and 15, and every one of them, when they spoke to a member of the military, they said, thank you for your service. And I
said
to Joe now, wow. And she goes, well, I want them to learn that. I want them to thank not only our military, but our police and our firemen and so many who put their lives on the line for us and so many who do so much for us, to say thank you and understand the sacrifices they're making for us. And I think that's just such an important lesson. And if every one of us can instill it in our children and our family members to just say thank you, you know, for what they do each and every day, and what they're doing for us, is just so important. It's, you know, it's as important as, you know, writing a check to support an event, or, you know, going to an event on the base, or to support our military. And one more thing, one of the things we're getting involved in here at the Chamber is thanking those young men and women who are making the choice to go into military service as a young adult coming out of high school. And we're hoping to do a program next year to salute and to honor them as they make that choice to serve our country. And, you know, too often we turn around and say thank you when they're injured or when they've come home, and it's time to start saying thank you and acknowledging the brave choices that they're making.
You know, I love that, too. I think that it sounds so simple, and yet it's very, very profound. And like you said, we overlook that so much, and it's really very important. So I want to thank you for all that you do personally and professionally for businesses, for the chamber, for women, for the military, for everybody, to help generate business and vitality in New Jersey, and also to build relationships not only with New Jersey but with other communities and with other states, and for everything that you do. You are just a wonderful business person who shares so much of herself. You're just constantly on the go, and I've seen you in person, and you do so with a smile, and you're just moving forward, and you're always available. You seem to know people's names and just really connect with them. So, like I said earlier, you are a great role model, and it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
My pleasure. Have a
Take
blessed
care.
Day. You too. Take care.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, we've been talking to Christy, and she, like I said, she deserved all the accolades that she received in terms of being nominated Businesswoman of the Year and Business South Jersey Biz, naming her 20 Under 40, being featured, because it's not just lip service what she does, and that's something important to all of us. Get out there, do your share, do your part, because at the end of the day, I always say to people, what have you done that allows you to feel proud? And again, maybe it's not something very big, but maybe it's being able to say thank you to somebody and being able to appreciate people in your life. And I also want to talk to you a little bit about my new Joy ebook. Yes, Joy. And people will say, well, how does that relate to you're doing a whole program on business and navigating today's business climate? How does that relate to joy? Well, you need joy in not only in your personal life, but you also need joy in your business life. And when you have joy, that translates, and that actually is contagious to other people. And just so that you know, we have two centers within our bodies that are able to regulate the amount of joy. So go to www.doctor, that's Dr. Joanne, JoanneWhite.com. Find out about my new book and about upcoming shows and everything else that's going on with me. But also I want to thank you, the listening audience, because what you contribute to not just to my show, but to other people and to just being who you are is incredibly invaluable. Think about what you're going to do to shift your business career and your business know-how. And as Christy said, think about ways that you can reinvent yourself. Maybe it's about learning how to be more positive, increasing your joy. Maybe it's about learning how to be more flexible. Whatever it is you do, do so with a sense of determination and put your heart into it. And next week, we're going to talk to Brenna Smith, who's going to talk about learning to hang out with you, love hanging out with yourself, and it's not just about yourself, but she is a writer, a speaker, and a communication coach, and she founded She Now, which is a creative community of women. So use your own creativity each and every day. Use that right brain. And again, thank you so much for being here, sharing your time, and sharing your day with us. Have a blessed day. See you next week.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.